Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Please do take a seat. Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. Nice to see you all. Lovely to see the baptism party today, those that have come to support Ariella and to celebrate together as we see her baptised. What a wonderful privilege and opportunity we have today. I just want to spend a few moments reflecting on the reading that we've just heard from John's Gospel about Mary Magdalene. And I've called this sermon, "You've Got to See It to Believe It." You've got to see it to believe it. I wonder if you've ever had one of those weeks where everything that you can think of seems to go wrong, one thing after another. Of my visual aid. Ever had one of those weeks? One of those weeks where you just can't believe it. Just this happens, then that happens, and then you hear such and such, and then the other happens, and oh my word, you get to the point where you just, well, I think of Victor Meldrew. I don't believe it. I'm not very good at doing impersonations, but do you identify with that, one of those kind of weeks? I think we probably all do, don't we? Well, Mary Magdalene had one of those weeks this week. Today we're celebrating resurrection with lots of joy and hope and new life. But actually, the first week, the first Easter week, Holy Week, Mary Magdalene had a rotten time, along with all the other friends of Jesus, along with all the disciples, along, of course, with Jesus himself. And she has seen Jesus go from entering into Jerusalem, being hailed as a king, Hosanna, Hosanna. She's had moments of intimacy as the disciples together. But then she has seen Jesus dragged off and arrested, given a sham trial, mocked, spat on, beaten, hung on a cross, left to die. 3 hours in agony on that Good Friday. And so she's been grieving his loss. All her hope has been shattered. She's wondering what on earth is going on. She's trying to make sense of this crazy week where one thing after another, just when you think it couldn't possibly get any worse, it gets worse. Jesus is dead. And then we pick up the story on that first Easter morning, where we're told that Mary, while it was still dark, very early, she went up to the tomb. What Mary could see was very limited, physically because it was still dark, but actually spiritually too. She was limited in her understanding of just what God was doing behind the scenes. While it was still dark, Mary came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. There's lots of different kinds of seeing, isn't there? And in the Gospel here, the writer, when he's writing in Greek, uses different words for seeing. We're told here that Mary sees that the tombstone has been rolled away. But she doesn't understand the meaning of what she is seeing. And we see that she jumps to the wrong conclusion. So remembering the week she's just had, oh, what now? Just when I thought it couldn't possibly get any worse, now someone has taken the body. Someone has raided the tomb. Someone has desecrated this grave. I don't believe it. So she goes off to tell her friends. She goes off to tell the other disciples, those who are part of her faith community, the place where she will get support and encouragement, but also the place where she wants to tell people, this is what they've done to our Lord. They've taken his body away. John and Peter, disciples of Jesus, they hear this and they instinctively rush to see for themselves. Again, the word "see" appears. They rush to the tomb. John tells us that he outran Peter, a competition going on there. They got to the tomb. John looks inside and he, the word again, sees the linen wrappings. Like Mary, he observes the material. But he's not perceiving yet the spiritual. Peter arrives and he goes inside the tomb. And he sees too. And the word changes here, and he's seeing in a way that he starts to contemplate, to consider what on earth is going on here. What does this evidence suggest? He can see the linen left in its place. If the body's been stolen, why is the linen still there? Who would steal a body and leave the wrappings behind? There's something weird going on here. And then John joins him and enters into the tomb. And he sees a bit more. This time he has some sense of comprehension. Perhaps the beginnings, at some gut level, of some intuitive sense of, hang on a minute, there's something going on here. I'm not grasping it yet, but there's something going on here. He hadn't made all the connections with all the prophecies that had been made in Scripture about the fact that Jesus would need to rise from the dead. Well, Peter and John have seen what they want to see and they go home. But then we find that Mary has obviously followed them to the tomb and she is weeping outside. Then Mary looks into the tomb and she sees, that word again, two angels. But she's still thinking along the same lines. She doesn't really clock what is happening. She says to them, they've taken my Lord away and I don't know where they've laid him. Then we're told that she turns around and she sees, only she doesn't see, she sees Jesus standing there. But she doesn't recognise him. Not surprising really, is it? People that have been hanging on a cross and crucified and have been dead for 2 days in a tomb don't suddenly turn up and speak to you, do they? Mary assumes what is more plausible, that actually this person before her is the gardener. She's not really yet seeing what's going on right before her eyes. I wonder how good we are at seeing beyond the immediate, beyond the material, beyond the surface of our lives. I wonder how good we are at really seeing and perceiving what is going on in ourselves, in those around us. I wonder how good we are at really seeing and discerning and perceiving God's presence, God's Spirit at work in our lives, perhaps unnoticed much of the time. Again, Mary says to who she thinks is the gardener, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. Her thinking is still limited by her expectations, by her previous experience. She's unable to contemplate at this stage the fact that a miracle has taken place. But then Jesus speaks directly to her. Then Jesus calls her. Jesus addresses her by name. Mary. Mary. And suddenly there is instant recognition. Suddenly her eyes are opened. Suddenly she sees fully. And she turns towards Jesus. Rabboni, teacher. It's you. Nothing has changed about what has happened to Mary and the other friends of Jesus and disciples over the last week. It's still been a wretched week. And yet now everything has changed. Suddenly Mary is able to reflect on the week and see how God has been at work. Well, she probably couldn't put all this together straight away, but she will do. How God has been at work despite all the appearances of a dreadful week. Now she can see her experience in a new light. Now she is no longer in the dark. The light has dawned. And again, Mary goes to seek out her friends, her community, those who share faith and trust in Jesus. But this time she goes with excitement, with amazement. Everything is seen in a new life. Everything is seen from a fresh perspective. Now she has hope. Now there is joy rising up in her heart. I have seen the Lord. I've seen him. Having encountered Jesus, the risen Jesus herself, Mary now sees it. She gets it. Jesus is alive. And I think faith could be like that in our lives. It can be as it was for Mary in this story. And we might ask ourselves the questions, what are we seeing? And what are we not seeing? We too could be living in the dark. Not seeing, not discerning the presence of God's Spirit. And we see how Mary's faith took several steps for her to get to the point where she fully got it when the light came on. Her faith didn't simply arise from seeing the stone rolled away, or from being with those who saw the empty tomb, or from seeing and hearing the angels, or from staying alone in the garden. Her faith didn't simply arise from any of these things, but rather her faith arose from encountering Jesus for herself, of hearing Jesus call her by name. All too often what we see is limited by what we expect to see, by what we already understand, by what we already believe or what we already don't believe. Mary has been looking for Jesus, but she's been looking for a dead body, and so she didn't find him. But Jesus was also looking for Mary, seeking her, wanting her to know that he had conquered death and that he was alive. And so Jesus comes to the place where Mary was. And in love, he speaks her name. And the good news of the Easter story for us today is that the risen Jesus seeks us out too. That he comes to where we are. That he calls each of us by name. In a few moments we're going to be baptising Ariella by name. Jesus speaking Ariella's name. And I guess we might reflect as we see that baptism on what we are seeing. What are we seeing? Maybe at the first level that Mary was, when she saw the stone rolled away, a baby, a font, some water. Maybe at the level of the empty tomb, something important is happening with Ariella. Perhaps don't fully understand what it is, but there's something important here. Or maybe we may be able to see and discern God's presence. And maybe we will see this as an opportunity for to encounter God's presence and God's love, and for us, as we share together, to encounter God's presence and God's love. And when we come to communion a little later on in this service, will we just see bread and wine? Or are we each open to meeting with God, to encountering God, to seeing and discerning God's presence in our hearts and our lives? This morning we all have an opportunity as we're gathered together celebrating Easter and celebrating a baptism, celebrating new life. We have the opportunity to see beyond our assumptions, our expectations, our disbelief, wherever we are, and simply open ourselves up to encounter the risen Christ who is among us by his Spirit. Alleluia, Christ is risen.